All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. Today we have an audio-only show to outline the upcoming divisional matchup against the Buffalo Bills with the Denver Broncos at Mile High. It's Empower Field at Mile High. Is that right, Dan?
Yes. Yes to all of those things. I'm going to go ahead and say yeah.
Sure. So this game features the Buffalo Bills facing the second best rushing defense in the league through most of the season after defeating the Jaguars, which we did on our wrap-up pod, which were the first best rushing defense in the league. It's an interesting matchup. Dan, just quick vibe check. Where's your head at right now?
Similar to how I went into the Jaguar game, I think on paper, there are more opportunities to attack this Denver Broncos defense, as stout as it is, for this Buffalo Bills offense. Ironically, having healthy wide receivers may not be much of a factor in this game, because where you attack the Denver Broncos are with your tight ends catching passes and your running backs catching passes. So I expect to see a lot of heavy personnel, especially a lot of Ty Johnson in the backfield with James Cook, a lot more of those looks as well, and one of those guys being a threat in the route running game. But JJ, I think an undersold portion of this is the Denver offense. I see a lot of people writing off Bo Nix as a second year, one quarter only QB. Since week 10, the Denver Broncos, this is after they lost J.K. Dobbins for the season. And now they've got R.J. Harvey and Jaleel McLaughlin rolling them out there. After they lost Dobbins, from week 10 to the end of the season, this was the number 3 team in overall success rate and number 5 team on based on EPA per play and rushing the ball. For context, the Buffalo Bills, which are largely seen as a bruiser of a run team, are 4th in both of those metrics. So the Buffalo Bills rush defense is going up against a rush offense that is almost as good, if not as good in some statistical measures, by what they're rolling out on their own offensive side of the ball. I think that's an undersold challenge of this game for the Bills, JJ, and it could be ultimately the determining factor.
Well, and especially because it's good on good Bills versus the Broncos rushing offense versus rushing defense. It's solid on very, very bad, the Broncos rushing offense against the Bills rushing defense. Metrically, I think that vibes check would tell you the Bills rushing defense has been better, but if the Jaguars didn't abandon the run in the second half, it's more likely that Bashal Tuten would have, won the game for the Jaguars, because they were not able to contain him with outside zone, especially after the loss of Jordan Poyer, who is also going to be missing this game. I think that of all of the head coaches that the Bills have seen this year who have inexplicably stopped running the ball when the Bills got ahead on the scoreboard, even if the run was very, very effective, that is not Sean Payton. He is a championship winning coach. He has ice water in his veins. He's not going to abandon the run just because it gets stuffed a few times or because Josh Allen has put up a couple of scores and they might need to, check the scoreboard. He's probably going to hit the Bills where it hurts as much and as often as he can.
Well, especially in that atmosphere and Mile High with in the higher altitude. I mean, you want, if Bo Nix is indeed the second half QB, the closing QB that he has proven himself to be over the course of this season, you want him going against an already injury depleted, now potentially gassed Buffalo Bills defense because you've battered and bruised them with the run game. Honestly, JJ, I think it's the most predictable outcome for what Peyton's game plan is going to be, but also I think the most effective as well, because the Bills simply do not have an answer to stop.
Yeah. And I think that the only answer to stop it may be, Sean Payton's not going to abandon the run game in a close game. He may start to move away from it in a game where he feels the pressure of the time on the clock and the necessity to score. And many coaches, as I mentioned, have moved away from it far too early. I think for the Bills, it's about game script. It's about having the team get up on the Denver Broncos far enough, fast enough, that they feel the need to kind of move away from a balanced offensive attack and feel the need to score quickly and air it out. Because I think that's where the Bills' number one passing defense comes into play. They have an edge. They proved last week against the Jaguars that they can pick off a quarterback who's interception averse, and that is not Bo Nix.
Yeah, that is not Bo Nix. But, Bo Nix gets, I think he gets a fair amount of criticism, right? So let's stick with the side of the ball for the little bit, the Bills defense against the Broncos offense, because I think running the ball is going to be a factor. I think Bo Nix is a uniquely complex matchup for this Buffalo Bills defense, not just with his ability to throw the ball, JJ, but his ability to extend the pocket and outright break the pocket with his and make big gains with his legs. I mean, I was surprised when I was doing research for the show. I haven't listened to any other pregame pods, nothing like that. I was surprised when I was doing the research for the show. I found out that Bo Nix was the seventh best QB against the blitz this season. But what shocked me more is that the Buffalo Bills are blitzing at the 10th highest rate at over 30% of their snap share this year. It wild times to be a Buffalo Bills fan, but they're doing that because the four-man pass rush shade simply is not there. So if you're the Buffalo Bills, I wouldn't necessarily be licking your chops to go at to have Bo Nix go at you through the air. Yes, I know it seems silly because on paper, Bo Nix versus Josh Allen in a shootout, you're going to take Josh Allen 10 times out of 10. And the Buffalo Bills' back end coverage will hold up. But if Nix has all day to throw, you're going to be asking Trey White to hold up under extraordinary circumstances. Taron Johnson, who has just seemed to get his legs back underneath him, to hold up in extraordinarily long situations too. But if you're bringing extra blitzers in order to force Nix off his spot and make a decision with the ball, he's been an exceptional at it this year. And if you choose to just play zone against him, I mean, or you choose just to play straight up man and rush four against him, I mean, he's going to break the pocket. He's going to run. I think Bo Nix, JJ, is a larger calculation in this game plan than Buffalo Bills fans are giving it credit for. I'm not saying he's could outright win the game on his shoulder, but I'm saying in the right moment with the right game script, he is surprisingly problematic for this Buffalo Bills defense.
Yeah, and I think that's a thing too, is I think there's a lot of Bills Mafia who saw Josh Allen's performance and are like, well, no matter what any team can bring, right? Like, it's the Bills, right? They had an excellent game against the Jaguars. I feel like both fan bases may be overconfident because this one is going to be a bit more of a slog. I think that you have people on the Bills side being like, who did they play? They had 1-point victories over the Jets, Giants, and Raiders early in the season.
I know. It's not like they lost to the Dolphins or anything.
Yeah, oh, right. Sorry. I know, right? And then exactly. And then on the opposite side, you'd have Broncos fans who are like, the Bills are completely beat up. Their defense is a complete sieve. We can run it on them all day. We have the one seed. We proved it against more difficult teams throughout the season, right? Like, we also beat the Chiefs. So, you know, it's through all that, I think that it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And to your point before with, you know, the Bills dropping, seven into coverage and trying a four-man organic pressure, it's never going to get it done. Garrett Bowles, Mike McGlinchey, good outside tackles. I think the Broncos are number one in pass protection as an offensive line. They have the best offensive line for pass pro. And the only thing that could shift the needle, and probably not a lot because it would be a first game back, is if Ed Oliver suits up tomorrow, he could provide some more interior pass rush, but I expect him to be incredibly, incredibly restricted on how much he can do at altitude after, 4 months off of football. So, you know, it's an interesting game, and I can tell you this, I am more anxious than I was for the Jaguars game, and I was very worried about that one.
I would say, as I have dug into this, I am the same amount of anxious that I was.
Equal anxious. Okay.
Equal anxious. And the reality is that there's no gimmies in when you make it to this stage of the playoffs. And I understand the argument that there are no quote-unquote elite teams. And I understand that the Denver Broncos have a very 2024 Chiefs-esque run and one-win victories. They are 11-2. 11 of their 14 wins came by one score and against some lower competition, as you noted. But this is also a team that's held its own when it's had to play some of the best of the best. But it's a team that, like Bo Nix, like this run game, can expose the Buffalo Bills defense. JJ, flipping gears here to the Buffalo Bills offense, there are some areas of the field they can expose here against this vaunted, and rightfully so, Vance Joseph coordinated Denver Broncos defense, and it starts with having a healthy tight end pairing. JJ, we got the word today that Dalton Kincaid is going to be a go for this game, even though he's had an injury status all week. What are your expectations for how he fits into the game plan? Do we see him targeted more than the handful of targets he got last week?
I think so. I think that that's something they're absolutely going to have to lean on. I think that it's likely that you see the Denver Broncos with the Bills' depleted wide receiver core putting a lot of emphasis on shutting down Khalil Shakir. 12 targets for 12 catches, even if they're short yardage, even if it was an extension of the run game, is going to get quite a bit of attention from any defense in the league. And so I expect them to try to erase Khalil Shakir as an option. And so that may mean that the Buffalo Bills have more opportunities to Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid. I could see Dalton Kincaid potentially pressing for double-digit targets. That is, if his health is enough to even get that type of usage. I think that people were surprised to see against a Jaguars defense that gives up such, you know, juicy targets to tight ends that Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid were not used as much. Dalton Kincaid's snap share was pretty low. I mean, it was high for most of his games this season, so they're definitely deploying him more, as many expected. They were saving him for the playoffs in a lot of ways while managing this knee issue. But I do think that we may not know how injured he's playing or how hard he's trying to push through it. As much as I'd love to say, yes, Dalton Kincaid 10 targets, I don't know if he's capable of that.
Right.
Health-wise.
Right. I think we're going to see a lot of heavy personnel, and I think we're going to see, I agree with you, a heavy dose of Dawson Knox in this game. JJ, we saw last week the Buffalo Bills run out their 21 personnel package with some combination of Ty Johnson and James Cook more than a handful of times last week. The Denver Broncos are 27th in overall DVOA, defending running backs out of the backfield. The Denver Broncos also play a lot of man defense, which means that's a lot of backs to Josh Allen when he is scrambling around in the backfield. If you're rolling out Dawson Knox, JJ, and you're rolling out Dalton Kincaid, and you've got a combination of James Cook and Ty Johnson, there are only so many resources, if you're the Broncos, you can deploy to stop all of those assets the Bills have with the weapons that you have before you've gotta give something up. What do you think are this, and a long wind up to a question. I think this could be a big Josh Allen rush game. I think it'd be crazy for how well prepared and how good this Denver Broncos defense is if that's the way they ultimately let the Bills beat them. But the Jacksonville Jaguars had a hard time stopping Josh on some key downs. And there's only so many resources you have to deploy against, granted, a limited wide receiver room. But this offense isn't built around the wide receivers. It's built around the running backs in the run game, the tight ends in the pass catching game. And those guys are going to be available, right? So if you're the Denver Broncos, JJ, what's the poison that you're going to pick to die from? Are you going to let Josh beat you with his legs? Are you going to sell out to stop the run? Or is Ty Johnson going to have some of these crazy screens that he takes to the house for 60 yards?
Yeah, I think the biggest question that you need to answer is, can it sucks that the Bills roster is in the state, but can Josh Allen run, right? Like,
yeah.
he was, I forget which defensive end chased him down from Jacksonville in last week's game when he was on a scramble.
It was Josh Hines Allen. Yeah.
Was it Josh Hines Allen?
Yeah.
So it was the kind of play where you saw, I think, was it Trevon?
Oh, no, it might have been Trevon Walker.
I think it was Trevon Walker. It was the kind of play where, like, I watched that game back a few times, you could see Josh Allen's surprise. Like, he's shocked somebody's grabbing him from behind. And I think it's because
he's old, man.
He's playing with a sprained foot. I think he's got a pretty severe case of turf toe from the Chicago, or the Cleveland game.
Yeah.
And so I think he was surprised that the spring wasn't in his step on that rep. But interestingly enough, the Broncos over the past 6 weeks of the season have not given up over 50 yards rushing to anybody other than three players. And those three players were running back Josh Jacobs for Green Bay, backup QB Trey Lance for the Chargers,
yep,
and backup QB Marcus Mariota for the Washington Commanders. So
correct.
People are not rushing on them. However, mobile quarterbacks have been a little bit of a bane for them. So I'm hoping this is a big time, you know, Josh Allen rushing game, because that would indicate two things to me. One, his foot's doing okay. His hand, his knee, and his head.
His injury designation was literally head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
I know. There's a whole song about it. Yeah. So that was, but that's what I'm saying is, like, if you see him run a lot, it means that he's probably actually faring better, like Sean McDermott, like Josh Allen said, you know, that he's doing. And it's a way to, you know, anytime your quarterback runs the ball, you are beating them in the numbers game. Mm-hmm. The reason that handing off to running backs isn't a thing that all teams can do effectively is because you're playing one man down, your quarterback's not going to be involved in the play after he hands the ball off. When Josh Allen is the runner, you're even on even. So with the tackler being the only person that matters, the last man left.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think that it's got to be something, because there's no wide receivers I trust other than Brandon Cooks, and Patrick Sertan's probably going to erase him.
Do you think Sertan follows whoever opposing team's number one wide receiver is?
Absolutely, Brandon Cooks. Yeah. I think it's going to.
You don't think they'll put him in the slot against Shakir?
I don't think they're going to put him in the slot against Shakir, because if
then
I'm
you
a
got
coach,
Jahdae Barron outside.
Yeah. Right. Well, and if I'm a coach, I'll let my linebackers and safeties clean up Shakir for 6 or 8 yards.
Yeah.
I cannot afford to let Brandon Cooks get 39 on me.
Yeah, that sucks, man. If I'm Joe Brady, I'm trying to figure out a way to switch up and get Brandon Cooks somehow on Riley Moss, because
right.
he's he's good. He's just the victim of, I have an elite island of a DB on the other side of the field for me. So he gets targeted a lot, right? So his stats don't look good, but he's a pretty decent QB. JJ, I mean, to me, it almost doesn't matter, a wide receiver. To me, it is still, to your point, Josh Allen with his legs if he's healthy, because this is a man-based defense that is going to have their back to Josh, and he's going to have his opportunities. And then also, JJ, this is a Denver Broncos team that struggles at tackling in space. They are only 27th in the league in overall DVO rank when it comes to missed tackles this season. Now, their overall defensive rankings are great, but if you can get their linebackers and their safeties tackling in space coming downhill against Josh, against Ty Johnson, against James Cook, I'll take that, right?
Against Khalil Shakir, who's like amazing at breaking tackles.
Yes, exactly. I will take his contact balance against anybody that's going to be tackling him on Denver.
And to that point, that's actually the fact that Brandon Cooks will probably be followed, in my estimation, by Patrick Surtain is a benefit to the Buffalo Bills offense, because he's actually serving what they need him to do, which is erasing the best defensive player and getting him out of the box, right? Yes. Like, send him away and then let other people work underneath.
Yes, absolutely. We are, no offense to Brandon Cooks, but we are wasting their best defensive, they're literally their best defensive asset outside of, I'd say, Nick Bonito.
Yeah. On a street free agent.
Like, a guy we literally picked up for our practice squad a couple of weeks ago. So interesting. It's going to be interesting. JJ, I want to ask you one more question before we get to predictions sure to go wrong. Will this be a big Keon Coleman game? Because I know you like really talking about this topic.
I love talking about it. Are you rage baiting me? This feels like the Gabe Davis thing from last
time. Listen, man, our YouTube shorts have not hit the way they've hit. We need some good Keon Coleman rage bait out of you.
Right. I got you. I don't think it is, because, again, I think that he is absolutely not good at football. I don't think that Keon Coleman is going to show up and have this magnet. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. It's like I hoped I'm wrong when they picked Josh Allen. I didn't think he'd be any good. I hope I'm wrong about this. And, like, all the things for the second year player Keon Coleman out of FSU click into place, and he showed up tuned in, turned on, clicked on, whatever the youths are playing now, you know, plugged in.
The two youths.
Yeah, the youths. Whatever they're saying is as the the slang thing for, you know, for locking in. There we go. Mm-hmm. If he was locked in this week in practice and shows up and, like, is blocking his tail off, having, you know, making some separation on quick slants, breaking some tackles, if he has 6 catches for 80 yards and a tutty in this game, I'll be like, okay, maybe they don't immediately try to get a 6th rounder for him.
Excellent. Oh, God, I'm so glad I asked you the Keon Coleman question. Yeah. He may come up later on in the props, just fair warning. Yeah. All right, JJ. Any final thoughts on the game, or you want to move on to predictions sure to go wrong?
Let's move on to predictions. This game has an over-under of 46. It's been moving around a little bit.
Yeah.
And Denver is favored by 1.5, I believe. Is that where we're at?
Yes. And Buffalo opened, like they did it with Jacksonville, as 1.5-point favorites, which tells you that public money is going on the Broncos for sure.
Yep.
is honestly what a 1.5 line for a road team in the playoff is designed to do. So there you go. So, JJ, final score prediction.
All right. So, I can't break from tradition. I love the Bills, as we all know. And I previously today, and just today, described Josh Allen as the demigod-esque love child of Thor, the God of Thunder, a resurrected woolly mammoth, and Xena warrior princess in a thruple. And so I cannot, for the life of me, bet against that guy. I want him to get his chip. I want him to get his punch, his ticket to the Hall of Fame as a first ballot person. So I'm going to say Bills 24, Broncos 22. I think it's going to be a wonky score, but very close.
Gotcha. Okay. I had Bills 24, Broncos 20.
Okay.
I think all the points will be scored in the fourth quarter of this game, because that's how these two teams are.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, I think the altitude's going to play a factor. I mean, this is a big home field advantage for Denver. It's why they've been able to win so many close games, because they know how to play in that environment late in games and opposing teams don't. I think the Buffalo Bills, my joke about fourth quarter scoring aside, they've got to control game script. Like, they've got to keep their defense off the field as much as possible. Please, you have not executed a successful double dip by deferring to the second half all year. You are the most game script sensitive team in the league, other than maybe the team that you are facing on the other side of the ball. Take the ball.
Take the kickoff.
Go. Yeah. score or at least drain 6 minutes off the clock in doing so. You know what I mean? I mean, like it, the passivity and the, you talked about this, the linearity of this Buffalo Bills offense, the thinking, the scheme, like you're going up against one of the most creative offensive scheme designers in NFL history in Sean Payton. I don't think I'm over exaggerating when I say that.
No,
like read the room and understand what you need to bring to the table for your guys in order to overcome this challenge. So I'm going to say Bills 24, Broncos 20, and then we're going to another AFC championship game, hopefully to not have our hearts broken.
Right. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
What what prop, what are your props?
Oh, it's just, I just have one. And of course it's Keon Coleman because they have to play him in this game. Yeah. He's got to get meaningful snaps, right? He's not only one of the few healthy wide receivers they have, he's one of the only outside wide receiver blockers they have too, now the Shavers and Davis are out. So he's going to be on the field a lot. JJ, over under 1.5 touchdowns for Keon Coleman.
Under.
Why? You're such a big supporter of this. I don't understand.
I want so badly to, like, I want my negative energy to shoot out into the universe and result in like a showering of positive vibes for Keon, you know, in rebound, because I don't think it's gonna anything. But, you know, if he gets 2 touchdowns, that'd be freaking, I'd never be happier to be wrong.
I'm gonna say 2, and here's why. This is a Broncos defense that is pretty stout in the red zone. They're already good against the run, and it's going to be really hard in that condensed portion of the field for James Cook or Ty Johnson or Ray Davis to squeeze it in from the 4 or 5 yard line on a traditional run. Give me Keon Coleman jump ball situation on Riley Moss. Just give it to me, right? Give it to me. I will take it. Yeah.
I will see your Keon Coleman jump ball versus Riley Moss, and I will raise you one. It's absolutely going to be Josh Allen Buffalo running and bobsledding into the end zone.
You know, Josh is just going to throw it to himself in this game.
Right, yeah. He's already done that one time.
It's going to be the Amari Cooper play, just every play down there.
Just, yep, exactly right. Absolutely. So my only prop is the talking point of this game is like this rushing. Can this rushing defense do what the Jaguars do and shut down James Cook? James Cook, over under 69.5 yards rushing. No player has gone over 50, as I mentioned before, in the past 6 games. And they haven't given up more than 60 to any running back all season, except for Jonathan Taylor.
I am going to say under. And I think if the Bills advance, I'm going to take the under next week too. I mean, listen, the Buffalo Bills have put this run game and all of its facets on a lot of tape. And this is the time of year where you're only facing good teams and only facing good defensive coordinators and only good coaching staffs, right? Now that Philly is out, there's not a bad head coach left. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's going to be under because there's no way a team at this level, this deep into the playoffs, is going to let the Bills beat them the way they want to beat them. They're going to force the Bills to play left-handed.
Yeah, doing the thing that they did all season to win.
Correct.
Yeah,
what gets you fired as a defensive coordinator.
That is absolutely good and sound NFL logic, and I know your analytical mind has taken you to this point in time, but for the same reason you're thinking that Keon Coleman could get 2 touchdowns, I'm thinking that James Cook gets 70 plus yards rushing, and this is why. You mentioned earlier in the pod that the Broncos are pretty notoriously a bad tackling team. Their success as a defense comes from free flow to the ball, everybody rallying to the football, but the first person doesn't always make the tackle. James Cook absolutely destroys teams where he can break one if even one other person is out of position. So I see a reality where maybe his yards per carry on the day is kind of low, but he ends up popping one for like 40. And then throughout the day, through 20 other carries, accumulates a little bit more.
So, okay. I could maybe see that happening, right? Like you said, kind of like the Houston game, maybe, you know? Mm-hmm. So I could see that happening. I think if it does happen, that's the only way it happens. I really do. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be a game where he averages 5+ like he has otherwise. Okay.
Yep, I agree. But I think overall, JJ, anxiety levels are high, but so are the levels of hope. And we hope the Buffalo Bills season does not end this Saturday in Denver. However, this pod is in fact coming to an end. So for all of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Google, Apple, Spotify. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.